Have you ever wondered what death doulas talk about when they get together? This podcast is offered to you by the Death Doula Ontario Network as we gather to talk about all things related to death, dying, and grief. Founder and director Olga Nikolaev and members of the Death Doula Ontario Network gather around the Zoom table and share their personal, powerful personal and professional experiences with end-of-life care. Death Doula chats are our stories about our experiences with offering and providing end-of-life care support in our communities. We hope and pray that our words have a healing impact on your own experience and assist you in learning about death doulas and end-of-life care support. The network's mission is to gather death doulas across Ontario and serve as the educational and business collaborative community of practice. The network's vision is to increase public knowledge and death literacy, enhance end-of-life care skills, and provide up-to-date end-of-life care resources and information. In addition, the Death Doula Ontario Network is part of a global movement, a world mission to better educate, advocate, and empower everyone in their end-of-life journey. So, welcome, Desiree Lodge, to our Death Doula chats. And I'm going to start our conversation by asking Desiree, what motivated you to become a death doula?
Well, good morning, Olga. Thank you for having me this morning. What motivated me was my experience as a caregiver myself to my in-laws and my mother. And after their passing, I felt, I guess, kind of an emptiness inside. And I had a daily routine where, for several years, I looked after my in-laws and my mother. In a very short span of time, we lost the three of them. And it was after that I decided to work in long-term care. And I was doing that as a dietary aid for a short time, which then turned into private care companioning for residents whose family members wanted them to have a little bit extra care and time and trying to engage them into, some of the activities or even their own interests. And then it's something that I've continued to do. And then through the pandemic, seeing how taxing it had become on healthcare workers, the strain and the toll it takes on them, as well as family, seeing people die alone, I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to try and fill the emotional void that the healthcare system can't fill.
So it sounds to me like, Desiree, this is not an uncommon motivation. I've heard other end-of-life death doulas talk about their own personal experience and how through that personal experience they were able to kind of really experience some of the gaps or some of the even resistance in caring for people at the end. So I can appreciate how this is. It seems like this is a reflection of also the doula movement as a way of addressing some of the disparities that we have in our current state of affairs. So,
Absolutely.
what are you most passionate about when it comes to end-of-life care support?
I want to be able to ensure that my clients' wishes are met, that they die with dignity, that I can provide a calming atmosphere and provide support to the family and caregivers.
And what specifically in your practice, are there specific sort of elements of the doula role that you're really interested in or passionate about? Sometimes I think we can identify that doulas may serve in the planning and preparing And then they may also sit at the bedside, really helping the families navigate, vigiling through the active dying process, and then potentially even offer some of that grief support. So are you one of those doulas who offer services in the whole spectrum, or is there any particular part that is really, your passion?
It really is the whole spectrum. I want to be there throughout the whole journey to be the best support I can. And I have had the honor of being at the bedside of a client who was only a year older than I was. And it was hard. And her family lived a distance away. So there was a team of us. It wasn't just me specifically. But at the end there, I mean, we would, keep diaries of our visits and time spent with her, and I think that's important. And she was in long-term care, any of the issues that may have arisen, while we were there, things that we encountered that we felt the family should be aware of, being there and being able to get on FaceTime with the family so that they could see her and talk to her. And even though they weren't able to physically be there, being that liaison, I felt was really important, and keeping the family as involved as they could be. They wanted to be there more, but distance kept that from happening as often as they'd like. So at the end, I was there with her until she took her last breath, and it was a comfort to the family knowing that I was there with her and she wasn't alone. So that I just feel, and it doesn't end there for me, because I feel like, your job isn't done there. And I don't even see it as a job. To me, it's just I'm a natural caregiver at heart. And I have this huge heart that just wants to help people and ease the pain and suffering, for everyone. So I offer, assistance with planning funerals or, obituaries and things like that. And I've maintained contact over the years with families who, have lost their loved ones, and continued to have relationships with some of them, which has been wonderful for everybody.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me, Desiree, from your share, that part of the doula role and part of what you're revealing is that we're kind of those connecting links, potentially, obviously, to the family and the caregivers, especially when maybe they're not able to be there in person or kind of are disconnected, but also offering some of that support or making sure that the person isn't alone, because sometimes that can be quite scary, right? To be kind of left alone. So offering that way of connecting. And then it also, from your share, there's also the, kind of looking at or really relying on the family to kind of lead the way, and then providing any of those supports that they may need, and working as liaison between all of those different areas that may need to be planned, not only care, but post-death body disposition and funeral arrangements and those kinds of things.
Great. Absolutely. Because it can be so overwhelming. And if you've never been through it before, it's a lot.
Absolutely. And I think most of us have not necessarily been through it, or if we have, we have diverse experiences. And I think many doulas like yourself, like myself, have had some not so great experiences, or maybe some really great experiences, but we want to obviously enhance the care and, like you said, enable the person to die with as much dignity, whatever that means to them, and offer some of that comfort and support.
Exactly.
So I want to touch on something that you touched on already, how sometimes it can be quite difficult as a, not only a caregiver, but as an end-of-life doula to be present with people when they're going through this huge transition, which can oftentimes be very chaotic. It can sometimes be very unexpected, but also that it can evoke in us a bit of that, reflection of our own mortality. I too have cared for folks who were younger than me. And so, you know, it can be oftentimes difficult to bear witness to that experience. It kind of elicits a bit of worry within ourselves, or concern, or even death anxiety, if you will. So what do you do for yourself in relationship to caring for yourself, self-care, as a way of keeping yourself balanced or keeping yourself centered, really as a way of minimizing or reducing some of the negative impact of this work? What are some of your self-care skills and techniques?
I do a lot of meditation, exercise, turn on the music and dance, allow myself to cry, spend time with my family, do things that are fun and just kind of take you away from all that negativity and, but I feel, even a hot bath with essential oils and a book and a glass of wine. And I listen to podcasts quite a bit. I listen to Mel Robbins podcasts and about stress and anxiety and how to, coping skills and things like that as well.
So it sounds like you've got a routine as a way of kind of coming back to yourself, keeping yourself balanced and paying attention to your mind and your body and your emotions as you do this work.
Yes.
Fantastic.
In the beginning, when I was, looking after my own family, I didn't do those things. And I became burnt out and ill and, so it was a learning experience. You have to make that time for yourself.
Absolutely, right? We need to be proactive in our self-care so that we're not at the effect of having compassionate fatigue or caregiver burnout, for sure. So let me ask you the million-dollar question, Desiree. What do you think the future holds for end-of-life doulas, death doulas? What do you envision? Where do you think we'll be in 5 to 10 years from now?
I think you are going to see more and more of a demand for death doulas because we're in an elder care crisis. Long-term care facilities are already at capacity. And I was reading an article in the Canadian Medical Association that was talking about how the crisis is going to increase and double by 2023 or 2031. And with that, also a lot of people are not wanting to go into care facilities. They're wanting to be at home for as long as they can or to die at home. And I think because of that, you'll see more and more need for us.
I think one of the articles that I read was by 2025, which isn't that far away. I think that it stated something to the effect of 25% of the Canadian population will actually be over the age of 65. Yeah. Right? And I think we also need to be aware of that, while we have this aging population, end-of-life doulas, death doulas can be helpful and useful in any part of the lifespan, because death isn't necessarily reserved for only those who are very old. And so we need to kind of remember that as well, that potentially we're not here only to serve the senior population, but can be helpful for other members of our communities who are looking to obtain some additional support in their end of life care.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. So Desiree, where can people reach you if they wanted to connect with you? And maybe let us know if you have a website and where you are.
I am in Lindsay, City of Kawartha Lakes, and I do have a website. It is peacefuljourney.ca.
Peacefuljourney.ca.
Yes. And also I can be reached by email, which is Desiree@peacefuljourney.ca.
And I know there's one small little element, or maybe a big element in your practice as well, is that you actually work with your son. Can you share just a little bit about this particular story experience?
Yes. So my son is 26 years old. He is a lot like me, and he has always been a very caring and nurturing person, you know, even when he was little. And, you know, through his high school years, when they had to, part of the curriculum was having to have 40 hours of community work, service, volunteer hours. And, you know, there's lots of things he could have chosen to do, but he chose to volunteer in a long-term care facility. And he worked in the activities department. And he did well in excess of the hours required, because he just enjoyed the time he was spending there with the residents, and, you know, listening to their stories and you know, just seeing their happiness when he came in. And from there, he took on a part-time job as a dietary aide. And I kind of followed in his footsteps, because that happened for me after it happened for him. When he and I were talking, you know, and he, of course, was a big part of when, you know, his grandparents were ill, and being a part of it from start to end, and seeing what toll it took on me at that time. And we have a lot of very deep discussions. And when I told him that I was going to do this, he said, I would like to do this with you. I would like to be able to provide more support within our community. And that's how it began.
What a great story. That's such a wonderful practice, right? You have a family end-of-life death doula business now. That's fantastic. Yeah. I think it's one of the things that I'm very excited about and very hopeful about, is that it seems to me that there is that interest in end-of-life care support with some of the new generations, so those in their 20s and 30s, having a bit of a different outlook and the willingness to offer some of that support, not be as afraid to engage in these conversations and in this kind of care. That's fantastic. That's wonderful. So thank you so much, Desiree, for your time. And thank you for spending time with the Death Doula Ontario Network. We hope that all of you who are listening to this podcast will be able to return and listen to our other collective stories on this Death Doula Chats podcast.